Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is make the leader in you come alive.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for joining us. Friends, no matter if you are the judge or the alderman, the campaign manager or the candidate, no matter the role, you have a purpose and you're leading that purpose. Our goal here is simple, to inspire and equip to all to leave where they are. In other words, get us on cue with God's will. On cue is the calling on our lives, which is our purpose, and on cue, get others on cue with that purpose. What is cue? It's C-U-E. It's how Nehemiah, a model transformational leader, led a starved, desperate, broken, isolated people in building a wall around ancient Jerusalem. In essence, building a way of life. He C-U-E'd them up. C is for common ground. It's what we can agree on. It's why we've come together. U is the unified thought. It's what vision can we share. And it's the what. And E is equally yoke. What's the game plan? What success looks like? And what's my role in it? It's how we're going to do this together. So Q leadership in general integrates biblical principles of leadership using Nehemiah as a model and helping you do two things. One, get people to trust you, and two, get people to follow you. Trust and discipleship is at the axis of leadership. And so as we always do, we'd like to start our show with a prayer. So, Lord, your powerful, merciful, and loving, living God, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, lead and bless this ministry and our audience and all that are serving you. We know that this Q leadership is your brainchild, but our calling in your name. We honor you today by doing two things, giving you the glory and serving this generation through Q. Your word says in Romans 12:2, tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, use this ministry and to complete that purpose, align, equip, and transform to new leaders for your glory, and helping others hear the call, receive the call, and raise some transformation leaders, some gatekeepers in your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. What to expect during our time today? We like to have a dialogue. We're going to have a dialogue, a conversation about leadership based in God's word. Try to equip leaders with a roadmap and tapping the faith and building that trust and building that discipleship. We try to highlight everyday leaders who are making a difference. They can testify to God's goodness, who are being transformation in their own sphere of influence. Our show is a lot of things, but it is not to criticize, but to shine a light on some truth and love. It is not to tell you what to do, but provide a different lens in order to see things. And three is not to focus on mere symptoms of a problem, but get to the root of the problem. In other words, treat the infection, not the runny nose. So today, as with any day, let's be open. Let's pray that we hear the Lord and not me and have the right questions. No matter what the differences are, remember that this life is about love and surrender. And there will be differences of opinion, especially about today's subject today. But let us do what a true transformation leader says. Let us agree without being disagreeable. And we'll be thought partners and have some fruitful dialogue today. So as we kick off this morning, I hope that everyone enjoyed that extra hour of sleep this morning. Today ended the daylight savings time where we rolled back our clocks to give away an hour. I'm sure that hour felt great after a long weekend. The daylight savings, and if you know, signals many things, but more than anything, time change signals a time for a change as well. We know that change is constant, and we can always expect it. Things are always evolving and changing. But we see this time for a change on every billboard, every commercial, every new broadcast, every speech. Why? Because when election season, there are local, state, federal, midterm elections all the way across the country, and everyone explaining why he or she is different, why things are working, and the incumbent should stay in place. Or why now is the time for change? In these elections, the reasons that I've heard for these times of change, there are many. Here are a few. Is a change because of the economy? Is the change because of inequality? The change because of jobs? A change because of equal pay? or a change because of minimum wage, or even a change because of education. And then there is an unusual one that has gone viral this past week, a change because of abusive relationship with black leadership. I'll say that again. It's really a perfect kickoff for our new series called Elections. But, yes, you heard me right. An abusive relationship with black leadership. This has sparked some debate across the country. Chicago activist leaders, we can call them activists or leaders or transformation leaders, whatever you want to call them, Paul McKinley, Mark Carter, Joseph Watkins, and Harold Nooney Ward recently went on record with Rebel Pundit to deliver a message to black communities across the country. That message shed some light on who they should say are the real oppressors of the community, and they call them black liberal Democrats. And that is a time for a change. They have set a storm far across the country with this message, and many do not want to hear. But we're extremely fortunate to have one of those leading advocates with us tonight. It's Harold Nooney Ward. If that name sounds familiar, it should. Harold Nooney Ward is one of the same as Nooney G, is a former high-ranking member of the notorious Gangster Disciples gang in Chicago area, actually across the country. If you did not know, the Gangster Disciples was reported to be the largest criminal organization at one point in the U.S. Ward was appointed by the founder of the Gangster Disciples by Larry Hoover to implement a new direction of change and betterment for the community at the large, and with the growth and development become the new battle cry. Brother Ward gave up his criminal background, reformed himself to focus his energy in eliminating the violence in his hometown, Chicago, assisting others to change their lives around and call on new leadership in the black community. Ward's early accomplishments include working with President Barack Obama as an activist and organized the first National Gang Summit for Peace. Today's Ward is one of Chicago's leading entrepreneurs and philanthropists in the legitimate business throughout of Chicago. Ward also wrote his first book called Gangster with a Heart of Gold, The Nooney G Story. It was published in 2008 and written in the devastating rise of violent gun deaths affecting his beloved hometown of Chicago. And also, he's been recently released, The Gangstonomic, and which we're going to hear about tonight, was written in the Educators Readers on how politicians, corporate world, and streets work hand in hand. And also in that book, The Foreword was written by 50 Cent, and also afterwards about Diddy. He explores these parallels between the streets and the corporate worlds and explains how the two segments, they intersect and they can't coexist without each other. And so he's also a candidate for Illinois State Senate. And Nooney G will deliver this message for a change and share his change for his leading as the OG to the leading community and help us answer really the question of the day. The question of the day is it time for a change? And so with that, we're going to bring on Brother Harold Nooney Ward. And we're going to bring him on right now. We're going to go to the break, but we're going to bring him on and so we can start our conversation. Brother Ward, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I appreciate you taking the time out this evening. I know it's been a busy, busy week for you, and you're going to be able to share some of the activities with us tonight.
Yes, I will. Yes, it has. And yes, I will.
Absolutely. So, you know, I wanted to share, you know, what we always do. As we always start our show with these two questions, and we want to pose those to you. The second one's probably a trivia because you are doing it. But tell us about what is that one word that describes you?
Prodigal son.
Prodigal son.
Yeah, prodigal son. That's how I look at it.
Okay, say more.
Right. The prodigal son because my path, where I went, came back, you know, I was – you know, what was the Lord, and then, you know, backslid, went back and out in the world and did all kinds of things and found my way back like the prodigal son did. And God opened his arms up for me and brought me back in. So, you know, yeah, to me, I say that's my thing. I call myself the prodigal son.
Prodigal son, I love it. That's original, too, for all the guests we've ever had. I love that. And we're going to talk about some of those elements of where going back and forth and found the Lord coming to you and moving to another direction. So this is, next question is probably trivia for because, you know, it's obvious that you're doing it, but if money was no issue, what would you do every day?
What would I do every day?
Yes.
Be honest, and this ain't no political question. Doing God's will, helping people out, doing like I'm doing now, trying to help people better them, you know what I mean, leading them to God, and also helping them out so they, I mean, you know, reach the goals they need to reach. It's just in me. I just thought God put it in me. You know,
right.
I'm just one of them type of person, caring, a kind person. You know, you couldn't tell about my past, but reality, I am.
Absolutely. So God's work, helping people, in a sense, you've been doing it most of your life in one form or fashion already. So just doing more of it.
Right.
I guess. Right.
Right.
So we're gonna get into we got a lot of things that we want to cover. We may never get to everything, but we got to set the stage for everyone to kind of know you a little bit better. Those first two questions help with that. But then tell us about growing up on the streets of Chicago, and then getting into the Gangsta Disciples. So just tell us about that, your whole upbringing.
Well, I grew up in Chicago in one of the Rufus projects in the world, and I was in the project. That was by force. That wasn't choice. My father was the head janitor. Means like a 2,000 houses he ran. He was the head janitor. So we had to be there because he had to be on the property. That's what that was. But they was raised and born in Chicago. See, my mother was a school teacher. Probably I let people know. I didn't grow up like most kids grew up. My mother was a school teacher. And I had a doctor's degree and all that. And before that, she was coming home from going to teach kids in the other schools, coming home back to the project because she obeyed my father. You know what I mean? Well, I wasn't no tripped out. It was just that she was married, and that's where we lived at. You know what I mean?
Right.
I was late in the project. You know, we had everything we wanted. You know what I mean? New cars, everything. But it was there. But I'm glad we was there because I learned a lot of lessons. But growing up in that environment was like a family environment, although it was a rough environment. People get killed back and forth. I see people get shot, killed. I got numb to it. You know what I mean? It was like, you know, no one was none of my friends and my family. Oh, okay, it is what it is. But going to Chicago, you know, back then, it's hey, and up now it was like, hey, it was ruthless. You know,
yeah.
it was ruthless. Like, hey, and remember, because people don't believe in spirits. I believe in spirits. That spirit of Al Capone is still in Chicago. And that's what that was. I mean,
right,
for real,
right.
I can tell people all the time, that spirit, that's where it was. Al Capone's spirit is, hey, because you know, if you know anything about Al Capone, that's where he ran. He ran Chicago, and they was getting it on. You know, Valentine's say, Mercy, I was killing left and right. But by me growing up in the project, I learned a lot of stuff. I went to college. You know what I mean, we did a lot of things. A lot of kids in the project go to college, different things, but I was the type of guy that learned and was curious, and I was always a hustler.
Mm-hmm.
My mother and father, they were school teachers. My mother was school teacher, my father was a dad, but I didn't have to do none of that. It was just in me, though.
Right.
Hustle. I did my first car wash. You know, I had my own main car wash, you know, shiny shoes. I did, for me being the type of guy that you know I am from the streets, I did totally different, and you wouldn't believe that. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I'm trying to tell people. You know, hey, don't be talking about when these kids found the privilege. I wasn't ever privileged. We had it, and I still did what I did because there's choices in life, and I made
choices. Wow, that's a good point. So I don't want us to miss that. Now, you grew up in the project. Your father was the head janitor, and of all the buildings, so you lived there. Your mother was a school teacher, and you didn't go for nothing, right? You didn't go for nothing. So you had what you needed. To your point, it was still about choices.
That's what it's all about, choices. Choices that I made and choices that other people made. So I'm just saying, you know, I can't say, oh, man, you know, we did our environment, my part. I wasn't. I had everything. I had everything. And I mean, this, you know, disrespect nobody. Everything that a rich white kid had, I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm for real. From motorcycles to anything you want, we had. In the project.
Right.
Like I say, you know what I mean? So it wasn't about that. It was about just hanging out with my friends. Them was my friends. I see them every day. I kick it with them every day. That was people I grew up with. You know what I'm saying? So, and if you saw All Get Gone, it's like a little Mayberry. You know what I'm saying? It's like Mayberry.
Everybody right. know everybody. So
it was your family. It's your family, right?
Right, it's family. You grew up like every
so
every
so
church,
you grew up without really not wanting anything. Still was hustling
right.
from the side. First car wash, shoe shine, had everything you need, but you still went to the game. Talk about that.
Right. Well, after, I'm telling you, I went to college at 18. So when
okay.
I was in college, I was just about to, I was just about to go over pledge. And my father
mm-hmm.
got sick, real sick. So I, had, I came home. Now, I had a brother older than me and a sister older than me, and I had a little sister younger than me. But I said I had to go back home. So I came back home. Then really about a good 6-7 months later, he died.
Mm-hmm.
So when he died, my father guided me and directed me. When he died, there was no more guide and direct. I got buck wild. Did what I wanted to do. I didn't want to listen to nobody. It was over with. So I,
yeah.
I rebelled. You know, and that's how it started off for me. You know, so, and basically, I mean, one thing I can say for sure, Paul, though, if somebody guide you, your father figure different things, you need that. You definitely need that. Because when he died, could nobody tell me nothing.
Wow.
And I wasn't disrespectful to my mother. It was just that she was just so caught up, she couldn't believe that my dad was gone. You know, she had to get her little grieving and snap out of it. You know what I mean? But, but by the time she snapped out of it, I'm gangbanging.
You gangbanging.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
I'm gangbanging. So, and then I'm not only gangbanging, I'm gangbanging doing stuff that even the ones that didn't have a father call, they sound really ruthless, they wouldn't even have the gangbanger I was because I didn't
okay.
care no more. You know what I'm saying? It's a difference when you care, you know what I mean? I didn't
right.
care no more about nothing to nobody. So I did a lot of stuff. Grabbing people's houses, guns, all kind of foolishness. You know what I mean? And that's just what it was, foolishness. Shout out people shout out me. I shot them, you know what I mean? I got stabbed, all kind of stuff like that. I did all foolishness, you know what I mean? But that's why I thank God for his mercy and his grace. But that's basically what it was. When my father died, that was the key for me to do what I did.
Right, right. So, but here's the thing, you know, your father's implanted some things in you, right? Guidance,
yeah.
about leadership. You all got the hustling. You know about choices and that type of thing. But you kind of rose the ranks, right?
Right, right, right. My father, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm listening.
No, I'm just saying, so you rose through. So not only you were gangbanging and doing what you needed to do, but you was also becoming a leader in it.
Oh. I knew in my heart that when things my father was just telling me back and forth, I was a leader by choice. I mean, by force, by choice, everything. I knew I was a leader. Because I knew at an early age of 15 years old, I couldn't follow instructions. So I knew I was going to be an entrepreneur. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Someone out loud would be out the window because I couldn't follow instructions. And I went to McDonald's and worked for them. They was like, hey, they was talking crap. Like, oh, no, this ain't me. So I say that to say this. I knew I was going to be a leader. And I had the gifts for gas to talk and talk people different things. And people follow me. But one thing they follow what I did because I did stuff that I wouldn't ask them to do.
Mm.
But I didn't do it. And
say
that
one more
that.
Time so people can hear. You asked them what now?
Right. I did stuff that I wouldn't ask them to do. If I asked them to do something, you know what I mean? I did it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I did it before they did. So that's why they follow me. You know what I'm saying? That's
yeah.
why they follow me. So, right.
Right, because you was opening it down. So you know, when you think about it, if you want to share, what's the worst thing? There's a lot of things you've gone. What's the worst thing you've done?
Sold dope to my people.
Say it one more time.
Sold dope to my people.
Sold dope to your people. Whoa. Whoa.
Honestly, that was it. But if I can change anything, my stock can be really good with this. Sold dope to anybody's people. How about that?
Wow.
That was my biggest thing. I couldn't deal with that. I mean, if anything, I regret, that's the most thing I did.
Selling dope
sold
to you.
Wow.
Yeah. At that point, that changed lives. That changed the whole dynamics, right?
Yeah. That changed everything. That determines family. I don't care who you are, who your family is. When you get a hold of using them drugs, one thing about me, though, And it's the honest God truth right now today, 50-something years old. And I never in my life ever tried cigarettes, reefer, cocaine, nothing, beer, alcohol, you believe it or not. I never. I sold it, but I never tried it.
Wow.
No drugs, nothing in my life.
Nothing.
And people want to know why your hair is like it is, your mustache is like it is. They say I'm putting, what you call that stuff? The Beijing. I said, no, I ain't. I was unhealthy enough. I'm not like vitamin stuff. But I say this to you is this. Drugs will come in and destroy whatever color family you got. You could be black, white, red, orange. If somebody on them drugs or somebody doing something, look out, baby. It's over. You messed up the whole family. And that's why a lot of people's families be messed up, and that's why I'm mad, because I contribute to that.
Mm.
I contribute to that.
Wow.
So that's why I said the worst thing I did in my life was selling drugs to people. Especially
wow.
my people.
Drugs destroy so many different ways. Oh, my. You got me speechless here. I'm usually not, but that was so. I didn't expect that answer. So powerful, so dope to my people. So if we're gonna pick up some of that a little bit later, but talk about the reach of the Gangster Disciples. Not only just you be able to sell and distribute. What was the reach that you guys had back in the day? How far?
Oh man, I did. I'm going to tell you, my job was to set Gangster Disciples all over the world, right? All over country. Right now, to be honest with you, they're in about 45 states strong.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the reach was. And, I mean, my job was, but see, it was to go around and make sure that everything was right. But see, I set them up. I said, that's my job, I set them up. But it wasn't based upon what people thought it was based upon, like drugs and all that kind of stuff. It was a new thing. The growth and development. And Larry Hoover came to conclusions and stuff like he said the same thing I was thinking. This ain't nothing here. We heard not people. So
yeah.
When he set him up, he used me. He set him up all over.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago was strong. But all the other cities and states you see right now where they at, I set him up. That was my job to set him up.
Yeah.
I went around
growth and development. Talk about the differences. Talk about that vision of what you were
moving. Right. It's totally different from the Gangster Disciples. Same thing, was totally different. Gangster Disciples, gangbanging, killing, selling drugs, doing all that. Because Brother Developer ain't about that. Brother Developer is about you finding yourself in life, whatever God, your path, helping others. You know what I mean? Leave drugs alone. You know what I mean? Going to communities and building up your communities, going to church, whatever your religion is, you know what I mean? But if you're Christian, I just happen to be a Christian. Some people in there are Muslims, you know what I'm saying? But it's about it's about helping each other. It's the vision that Larry Hoover had, which is about doing things for each other, being there for you. I mean, if you have some of the laws and policies that we got, it requires you. You know what I mean? If you rape somebody, we dealt with you. We don't care who you was. If you're being disrespectful, you know, we got a law that say disrespectful, you know, I mean, don't be disrespectful because it causes others to be disrespectful to you. So Larry Hoover had laws in there, and I'm not glorifying it. Talking about, oh, he glorifying the game. No, I'm just telling you like it was. It is what it is. I'm just telling you the truth. I'll keep it 100. You know what I mean? I told you about the bad part. Let me tell you about the good part. You know what I'm saying? So he had a lot of different things in there where you had to go to school. Well, you couldn't use drugs. You couldn't do a lot of that stuff. Nobody in the organization could use drugs. You know, they were playing that. They sold it, yeah, but you couldn't use it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Then other things like a couple of situations that I had my was so tight. But I go in other places where it'd be average people, mothers and fathers or kids back and forth, tripping, going through some changes with their mother and father. I'll come on and say, they'll come to me. And I straightened it out. And I went to Larry Hoover one time and told him, I said, Chief, he said, well, I said, this ain't got nothing to do with going to the race. Yes, it do. You the group. We the group. And we don't just deal with our people. We deal with all situations. So what you mean? I said, well, I didn't know. He said, yeah. He said, if you see something you can make peace in a situation, that's your job.
Well, make peace.
People look at, right, he said, people look at you as gang chief. We don't, that's how they look at you. But they don't know the real is what's going on. So you show them. And that's what it was about.
Wow, wow. So powerful. So, Brother Ward, we're going to take a quick break on that. We're going to come back, and we're going to kind of transition a little bit about when we went to the penitentiary and other elements, and kind of share a little bit more. Then we're going to jump into some big, interesting subjects that we've all been seeing throughout this week. So after the break, we'll continue our conversation and talk with our guest speaker, Harold Nooney Ward, former high-ranking member of the Notorious Gangster Disciples and also candidate for Illinois State Senate, and answering our question of the day, is it time for a change? So during the break, stay with us. Feel free to call us at 310-861-2331. You can press one on your telephone and it raises your hand virtually, and my daughter Kennedy can bring you in, or you can join her in the live chat room and ask her a question there. She can bring that in. Friends, we'd love to hear from you. Again, our number is 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
By getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the queue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you lead where you are by getting you on cue with God's will and His purpose. Today's question is, we're talking to Harold Nooney Ward, time for a change. Helping us with that question is you, and so call us at 310-861-2331. And helping us with that is our guest, is Harold Nooney Ward, self-made entrepreneur, politician, community activist, and leader. Grew up in the mean streets of Chicago, one of the toughest housing projects in America. He didn't always fall in the straight and narrow, that's because he was one of the higher ranking members in the Gangster Disciples. But he has just given up his past and focuses all his energy in eliminating the violence in his hometown, assisting others to change their life around. He's also a current candidate for the Illinois State Senate and here to share his testimony. So let's give a virtual applause again for Harold Nooney Ward. So, Brother Ward, thanks for staying with us here.
Thank you for having me, brother. Can you
Absolutely.
Hear me good? Can you hear me good?
Yeah, okay, that's better.
Okay.
I got a tech. I got some notes from a few folks saying we couldn't hear you that well, but that right there would better.
Can you hear me right now? You got the thing in my mouth. Oh, take it iffy. I just don't like telephones to my ear all the time. You know what I mean? It
that works.
So
works right there. That's a whole lot better. I appreciate it. Appreciate that.
Okay.
So before you know, I don't get you know, loss of words too often, as my family will tell you sometimes. But when you talked about, you know, the worst thing you've ever done was selling dope to your people. That is so powerful. That is so powerful, and we could spend a whole show on that. But I want you to talk about now your transition. We talk about the prodigal son, and that's from the one word you described. But you've talked about where you grew up with all things you needed, still make choices, had a challenge when your father passed, lost the guidance. Got into gang banging, rose through to leadership, and at some point you went to prison. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. After my dad died, there was no more guidance. I just did what the normie project was going on, the people in the project was doing, you know, my homies. Matter of fact, I'm finna tell y'all something I ain't never told nobody else before. My wife don't even know this.
Okay.
Let me tell you how I got started in the game.
Okay.
This gonna blow your mind. This is the reason why I'm glad I wrote Gangsta Numbers. One of my friends I grew up with, this guy I grew up with, he was we went to high school together, went to grammar school together, and we graduated, right? And he got me in the game. But check this out. When he got out of high school, he got out a year early because he was smart. Got out of high school with college, so he landed with a major, and I mean major radio station, the Color Channel on, right? He ran with it, right? So the guy that he was with, the guy was running the radio station and everything else, and I'm talking the president of the radio station, they was together back and forth, you know what I mean? They were selling drugs on the side. Didn't know that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I got the first drugs I sold, and you don't get this. They gave me a key of cocaine. Now, you know, you got to work yourself up.
Right.
A key of cocaine. But the very first thing I sold was a key of cocaine. I had it. Now, watch this. This guy right now today, he don't sell drugs that I know of, but he owns 14, 15 radio stations.
Wow.
So can anybody tell me that you can't tell me, and I know people, I mean, own them. I know he own them. We ain't been talking in a while because certain situations happen because I just, you know, this thing about that I put myself in situations and did things I should have never did and people never had your back. That's just something different. But that's how I got started in the game. When I got started in the game, he gave me that. Then after a while, maybe it didn't take me that long. I was so small. Like I told you, I'm not going to work for nobody. That's just my mentality. So when I sold it, you know what I mean? And then I'm going to tell you what else I did. When I was selling, I'm doing, he gives it to me back and forth. So he get a couple other times he gave it to me. I break them down, right? I break the drugs down. When I break them down, whatever he asked for, that's what he got. Everything else, I took. So I knew what I was doing. So I saved my money to the point where I was telling him, hey, man, this guy, I lied to him. This guy here, man, on a bad key. When he go back keys, he'll take that money, you know what I mean, thinking it's for somebody else's money, and all the time it was my money. I was buying my own key, you know what I mean? So that's how I got in the game. And after a while, I just cut him loose, period, you know what I'm saying? And went on my own, and that's what happened. I got caught up. And let me tell you, I got caught up one of my friends, because I was so careful. I sold to four people. That's how lucrative the dope game is, and that's why we want to know why people in the dope game is lucrative. I can sell to four people and make I made so much money, I didn't know what to do with the money. Then that's when I started helping people doing different things with it. But after a while, my friend told on me, and they never actually caught me with the drugs,
Mm-hmm. It's just the fact when it came in, it was a gun there. It was a scale there. It was a telephone there. But the drugs that they came wasn't really no drugs because it was a bad batch. It was like, you got to get a real bad batch, but they never mixed. That's what they caught me with. But they got
right.
me on looking like substance. You know what I'm saying? And people don't understand that. That's a, you can have mix, and you can go to jail for 50 grams of mix. No drugs or nothing's called. It's a law called looking like substance, and that's what they got me on. So when I went to jail, that's what I went to jail for. I fought it for 5 years. I fought it to the point where, you know, that nobody fought the case longer than I fought it. Because what
mm-hmm.
happened was I went to jail, and I mean, being my record being clean, Lord bless me, get a kill bond. So that means I went to the penitentiary, and I was in the penitentiary for about a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, for about, yeah, about, no, to be honest with you, I was in the penitentiary about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, right?
Okay.
And then my lawyer said, the appellate court, you want to get out to get your bond. You can sit there, and you can bond out when you get ready. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what you mean? He said, I never knew that. So when I was out there, man, I'm ready to go. I do this time, so all the time. You know what I mean? So at the time when I was married, I get the money my wife pays the bond money. Now, I'm telling you for real. This is the truth. You can look it up. I'm in the penitentiary. I bonded out the penitentiary, the joint. Because of appellate court, because, you know, you go to different levels of the cases.
Right.
And, man, hey, man. As a matter of fact, I had to. Anybody else that knew that they had to sign up for was a commander, was a lieutenant, there was other people in the joint. But the assistant warden didn't know really what was going on. She thought I was lying, so like, go sign up someone. And I called the captain. That's the captain. I got a PO bar back and forth. And then he said, yeah, okay, I know what you're doing. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. And she was like, is that true? He said, yeah. It's like the first time it happened. They ever had to sign off on it. And I bought it out. When I bought it out, that's when it was on for me. I went to work after that. You know what I mean? But hey,
mm-hmm.
so I went to jail for that 1 week or 3 weeks. And then I got out. I stayed out for about 2.5 years, lost my case, and had to go back in and do that time. And that's what happened. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So,
how much time did you spend?
I did 5. You gave me 10. I did 5.
Yeah, did 5, made you 10. So now take us to your pig trough moment. You talk about the prodigal son. Take us to that moment where you hit your bottom and Lord came and touched you and moved you and elected you.
When I went to penitentiary. That penitentiary. That was it. I ain't used to being locked up. I ain't, now y'all know this now. I never was one of them kids that was, went to the RD, went to youth detention. I wasn't doing none of that.
Mm-hmm.
I was 19, 20 when I was in the game. So I bypassed all that. You know what I'm saying? I was in college. So that right there was enough for me. I had enough time to think, get my thoughts together, and figure out, hey, man, this ain't nothing here. I'm rock bottom. You can't get no more rock bottom than the penitentiary. 5 years, I didn't see no pause. I know guys that go to the penitentiary don't even come out and die in the penitentiary.
Mm.
So that was it for me. And God was like, you know, hey, I was trying to get you to be obedient and listen to me, but you didn't want to listen to me. So now I can slow you down and get your attention now. And that's me coming in. Because God will have, he had amazing conversations with me. I don't care what nobody say. God will speak to you, to anybody, because he speaks to me, and I listen now. When I'm moving too fast, I'm trying to get your attention. You know,
right.
Okay, Lord, I drop down, what you want me to do? You know what I'm saying? So that's what happened. That really got me. And that was the part I was looking at. What's for my kids? You know what I'm saying? Wait for them.
Mm-hmm.
At the time they really need, I had sons, was 13 years old at the time. I had one was 14, one was 13, my daughter was like 10, right? So they needed me there. They needed me there. I missed them years coming up. Let me show you how important this is. And this is real talk. Had I been there, I could have devoured my son. My son that came out to me, he went to the penitentiary 3 times for the same thing. 3 times. So can nobody tell me that, you know, that a father figure or mother don't belong in the house? Because they do. The kids see how you do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, and that's another part. Now, I need to add that to you. When I said the worst thing I did, I wasn't there for my kids because we selling drugs. And they had everything when I was there.
You know what I mean? And
right.
By me, the type of guy that I was, people looked out for me because they looked up to me. They made sure I had money on a regular basis, right? You know what I'm saying? I made sure. When we started talking about gangster numbers, I'll tell you that, but I did my thing. But I made sure, and believe it or not, I took care of my family and all the kids I had from the penitentiary. I took
wow.
care through the joint, through the mails, all that.
Wow.
Can't tell me this ain't about so. It's all about design. I know.
So let's talk. Let's jump into that then. Let's jump into that. So
right.
So you had a previous novel, a book, and about what's the name of it? Is the Heart of
no,
Gold, right? Gangster
with
a Heart of Gold.
With a Heart of Gold.
Right. So
right.
So but now your newest one is what you just talked about Gangstanomics. So talk about
right.
that. Use what you just shared of how you took care of your family and parlay that into this new book.
Gangstanomics. First I'm talking about Gangstanomics. Gangstanomics is about the corporate world and the hardcore streets is one. Please don't the listeners don't get confused and think that when you see these politicians, you see everybody, everything is done by design. So nothing happens. Let me tell you, the United States are so Trump tight on everything they do. So you see different things. When you see it, it's already 10 times done already. So what I mean by that is this. When I was in Bloomberg Magazine, the purpose, I was in Bloomberg Magazine. They did a story. This is how I made Bloomberg because, you know, you only make Bloomberg Magazine if you're rich.
Yeah,
rich.
Exactly.
So, I mean,
so
you're
in Bloomberg
Magazine
on this, okay?
Bloomberg Magazine. They did a major story, a special edition on the drugs coming in and on El Chapo and all that. And the reason why they did it with me, because, let me show you something. This is how that works. When I tell you about the gangster side, when I was doing all the stuff I was doing, I had a pathway when I went to different states, right? And I did different things. I set the gangster cybers up. Now, watch this. I did that in 92, 93, right? But I did that. Went to the joint back and forth. I don't know how he found out. He and I never met him before, talked to him before, El Chapo, whatever. He took that pathway, and this is how I found out, because when they interviewed the DEA agent, he told me. He said, this is the reason why. He said, we know you ain't had nothing to do with this because you didn't even know this. And it's in the magazine. The thing I set up, the route, he took that same route, pumped out so much drugs to around the world. That's why they got me the thing. Because I'm trying to figure out why they picked me. You know what I mean? Because I know I'm going to sell drugs no more. But check this out. This man made $3.5 billion just from Chicago to Mexico. Let me give that one more time. $3.5 billion just from Chicago to Mexico. Nowhere else, right? So you mean
wow.
to tell me, Pookie on the street or Bobo or nothing to sell a bag of crack or back and forth, they get locked up, right? And you can't stop nobody from making $3.5 billion coming to Chicago and coming to the United States? Really? You can't stop that? You know why you can't stop it? Because you in on it. Money laundering, all that. Politicians, everybody in that. $3.5 billion?
That's a lot of money.
You can't do nothing in the United States without them knowing what's going on. I don't care who you is. You can't, they know the last time you flush your toilet stool. Please believe. So my point when I made Gangstanomics, I was like, the streets and everything else is one. I'm in the penitentiary. I'm selling so much dope in the penitentiary, making so much money, sending so much money out. The guards involved, everybody involved. Everybody got to get their money. And it's a $1 billion industry. Let me tell you this here. If the drug game stops, Wall Street is shut down. Please, one more time. If the drug game stops, Wall Street is shut down.
Share more about that. Let everybody understand what you mean by it.
Everything is, the drug game is shooting everything. It fuels everything. Everything that's actually going on in the world, different projects, different things, everybody is fueled up. That's what the stock is changing. Now they tell you pork bellies and all that. Man, that's dope. All that.
the overlay for the underplate. It's like a facade. It's like basically it's a cover. Come on, man. I mean, I'm really. Come on, now you make it all. If I just told you from one city now, and
right.
Bloomberg magazine do an article which is totally out their character. But when they did that article, everybody and their mamas called to interview me.
Yeah.
But people got mad, the powers that be, and they want them to interview me. They got so mad in Chicago, but they try to take the magazine off the
wow.
off the market.
Somebody connected the
dots. I said
somebody connected the dots.
Yeah. When they read the story, because in the story, I didn't write the story. Bloomberg magazine was it became the mayor and all everybody else in there. Rick,
wow.
I mean, hey, they was like, oh no. But check this out. This is a really bug your mind. Last year, out of 450,000 stories, 450,000 stories in the world, my story was 21 in the world.
Wow.
We did the story in October of last year, and the thing came out in December. She can't tell me, man. So I'm saying the political world, the streets, all that, and then everything on the street. Let me say this. Take my time. I know I'm talking kind of fast. Let me take my time.
Go ahead.
The real Rick Ross. He was son, and I know y'all just saw that new movie that just came out. This new movie that just came out. I forgot what I wanted to see it because it showed how Oliver North and all of them, how Rick Ross, the street guy, was selling drugs for the White House. Yeah, I said it. They got a movie right now. I forgot the name of the movie. It's out. It came out about a month ago. I forgot about the reporter. He reported all that stuff. Forgot his name. People know what I'm talking about.
Sure,
Rick Ross. What's the name of it?
No, I don't know the name. I remember looking through it this past week. I can't remember the name
of it. Right, okay. So check this out. Now, the lead guy in there was Rick Ross, the real Rick Ross. He sold so much dope and different things. He made millions and millions and millions. But he had no idea that he was working with Oliver North. He had no idea he was working with the Bushes and them. No idea. They were selling dope for the government. Come on, because Reagan couldn't get this was the story today. Everybody, look it up. Don't be mad at me. Look it up.
Is that his activities were connected to parts of the government? That's what you're saying.
Exactly. He's a street guy like me.
Mm.
But the government, he's selling dope. Anybody
wow.
You know what I mean? If you ever saw American Gangster, when you saw the movie, when you saw Frank Luca, all the dope that he had, right?
Right.
And, right. Guess who's bringing the dope back over? The Army. But guess who else is bringing the dope back over? Because he stayed trying to act like he didn't have no idea. Ain't no way that playing President Nixon didn't know all that dope was in that plane. You ain't going to tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't going to tell me that. And this ain't my story. These are stories out right now. You know what I'm talking about? You saw American Gangster, what he had in there. And I was talking to Frank Lucas. You know what I mean? Frank never said that he knew what Frank said. You know what I mean? Hey, but it did happen, though. Everybody know that. So
right.
You can't do all this stuff if ain't nobody involved. That's what I'm saying. The streets and the corporate world is one. A lot of projects, a lot of scientists, they got projects going on. The streets, the dope world, they fund them projects.
So your notion is, in the book of Gangstonomics, is that all this activity, all this money being made in dope, it can't be done without having everybody involved. That's your point.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So with that, though, I think we got a link to our show about your book, and so those who go to my invitation, you can kind of go in and find more about or how to get access to it. But with that though, Brother Ward, which kind of leads to another part of why we came together today about leadership, right? About the new time for change for leadership, right? And so as we saw. You know, you turn things around. You now you can you talk about this past week we saw on the news, this video went viral, kind of like your story, right? Where you,
right,
along with Paul McKinley, Mark Carpenter, and Joseph Watkins, you know, went on record with Rebel Pundit, right, to deliver a message about the black community across the country. It's kind of related, but you're using your story and testimony to tell this story of where what you call abusive black leadership relationship, right? And
right.
And so what we're going to do, we're going to play this clip, and then when we come back on, we're going to talk about it.
What?
That's okay. All right.
Okay. Black folks is in an abusive black leadership relationship. We have to send a message. This is the time for us to send a message.
We always talking about what the Republicans ain't done for us or what they will do to hurt us. My life has been hurt by Democrats.
And we got in our mind that we always got to keep voting Democrat.
You know, look and see in your community, who are the real oppressors in our community? They always talk about black on black crime. And when you hear the word black on black crime, the first thing you think of is a black man robbing you, a black man breaking in your house. And that is a black on black crime. But let's take it one step further. There's a black on black crime in down in City Hall. There's a black on black crime down in all the state capitals in America, where black folks are voting against our interests, where black folks are voting and making us, we're getting poorer and poorer, and other groups are getting richer and richer. Everywhere you go, there's poverty in black areas.
This lot where I stand at right now, Ida B. Wells, public housing residents who live at. Most of the people at home is living in the street. And it's because of you, Mr. President.
In Detroit, where your leaders at? There's no white folks running Detroit, cutting water on black folks in Detroit. Them black folks running that city. Ain't no white folks doing that. Them black folks going along with that. Everything's happening in our community is black leadership doing this.
Our children know that if the Democrats have not done anything for us as of yet, why should they even go out and vote? What agenda is on the table that's going to change their life?
The only thing they're offering the black community is abortion on demand. This is what the president asking for us to vote for.
Now he wants to have this conversation about minimum wage raise because he knows that this is the way to get a lot of the poor people's attention. But to hell with his minimum wage raise. We don't have any jobs. A minimum wage raise for what?
They're not pushing a black agenda. They're not pushing a family agenda. They're pushing a neoliberal agenda.
Across this city in these major Democratic cities, this is what it looks like.
How can the same process happen over and over again and nobody got nothing, can't do nothing about it?
Black leadership is abusing us. The Democratic Party is abusing us.
It's the same way in every black community across the country.
And they force us into a life of welfare. We don't want no welfare. We want opportunities to go to work. We want opportunities to own business. They bailed out all of the major banks and these big investors, but left the people starving.
There are no tea parties in your city.
We don't have those people. We have a major Democratic machine, and the majority of them, they look like me. These are the people who make sure we get nothing, but then turn around and have us to vote for them again.
They only come around when it's time for election. And if they can give you a toy or give you a turkey or something, and everything is good.
Hundreds of millions of dollars are coming down from the federal government. But the money is going to all these special interest groups. My brother's keeper went to his friend. This whole corrupt Democratic system that gobbles up all the dollars and starves the people out. Can you all look around your community and see any change that will come about with these hundreds of billions of dollars that will come through our city? No, you cannot. What we do see is our elected officials riding around in new cars, and they have new homes.
When our people don't have jobs in our community, when we don't have any vital resources, when all the deals been cut, and all our people are left out, this is where we end up.
And we got a most important thing that we got that we can stop all this. Everybody got a vote. And if you use your vote wisely, you can stop a lot of this stuff.
So, Brother Ward, everybody got a vote.
Yes.
Everybody got a vote. That was pretty powerful stuff this week. And I'm sure that it went pretty viral in all sorts of places. And you guys have got some support and also some backlash along the way. Talk about why the need for that piece that Rebel Pundit put out this week.
Because the program is the same. If you keep doing the same thing, you're going to keep getting the same result. And it's a time out for that. We ain't got nothing all these years. We don't care who you are. You know, we all know why it's to the point where Big Mama told us, Big Daddy told us, everybody told us we need to vote Democrat. I'm going to say this to you. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm an independent. But in my community, all the years I've been living, Democrats have ran where I lived at. They've been the majority. And ain't nothing changed. It's got worse. And my thing was, I just got tired of, like, man, we got to do something. Do something. I mean, come on, let's do it. So we did it. You know what I mean? And when we did it, we was glad that we did it. We let the people know this is a major election right now. This right here, the midterm election, determines who take over the White House, right, who runs the Senate, and Illinois and these other places, gubernatorial races, who would be the governor. Now, our governor, we got in there, he's been the governor for 8 years. We have one before that, which is a Democrat. We have it for 4 years. Now, I ain't saying this or saying that, but I'm going to say this to you, and these people are going to tell me I'm crazy when I say this. If you do your homework, and look at statistics. For Ronald Reagan and Bush, well, not the father, the son.
Mm-hmm.
Black folks was better off when they was in there. And I don't like Republicans. Don't disrespect them. Because people understand, the Republican Party was started by black folks. Frederick Douglass, they don't understand that. Look at their history. Martin Luther King was a Republican. I'm not a Republican, but because certain situations, because that's not the same party that they started. You know what I mean?
Right.
But the point I'm just saying is this here, I mean, the Democrats is controlling. At least I know what I get with the Republicans. They're straightforward. And some of their views are gold with my Christian views. I mean, they with same sex, you know, all that kind of same sex, man, all that kind of stuff. People get mad at me all day. I don't care. I am a child of God. And whatever's in that Bible, that's what I believe. That's just me. I didn't ask nobody else to believe it. Okay, because everybody got to make their own decisions, their choices, and deal with God. But me, for her, Kenneth Ford, Jr., Nick Nagnoni, Dooney G, all that, I believe everything in that Bible. That's just me. So I'm saying this here. Democrats been tricking us all our life. And we feel that they're safe. We were so far to say, Clinton was the first black president. No, he wasn't. Oh, Barack Obama wasn't the first black president. If you want to be honest with you, it was 8 before that, but they wouldn't mention that. The guy on the $2 bill, he was black. See, people don't know that. They don't want to study that and do their homework.
Mm.
It's time out for the same old stuff.
Time out for the same old stuff, and it's time for a change. So what have you been saying in that message you talked about, we've been voting against our own interests? Talk
exactly.
More about our own interests.
And see, mainly our own interest is, you know, we cool if we get there and they serve a bill of goods to tell us, okay, well, I'll tell you what. I go in other neighborhoods, white neighborhoods back and forth. I see they streets nice, different thing. But I know what they do. I know how they streets do. You know what I mean? We won't even get out and vote. They get out and vote. Stuff that we like, that we want. People understand, well, what you did to solution is vote. Vote them jokers out. When they give you a toy, give you a church and all that, y'all good with that. We got certain different things that we need. Our education, you know what I mean? We need a lot of different things, jobs, different things. We ain't getting that. We get the bottom of the barrel because we do it to ourselves.
Are you saying that what's in place is kind of pacify it with, you know, if it's the minimum wage increase or...
Right.
Or whatever those things are?
Right, it's pacified. It's to the point where, we're comfortable with nothing, with a little bit.
We're comfortable with that once a month check. We're comfortable. For this and for that, we're comfortable with that. How can we, if this American God created us equal, why we can't have the same thing everybody else got? I don't understand that. Why is this? Why is in our neighborhood, it's more, it's every corner is a liquor store? Or you go in there, they got, we got 10,000 churches, which is cool, but it's a liquor store. And every corner,
right.
And every black neighborhood, it's drugs. And you go right down the street, now watch this, killing and murderers and all that. Now, let me give him his good. Still, let us not say, he's just fine here. When you go across, when I mean 5-10 minutes across, and I'm not exaggerating, 5-10 minutes up, you go over there, and a shot been fired, ain't no murders been going on, nothing. But in our neighborhood, it's murders, killers, drugs, everything. But across the street, over there, park area, or areas like, you know what I mean, what you call it? What's that called? What anyway, it's called some of the rich areas, which is not old coast and all that. Ain't none of that going on. And it's in the same city, the same mayor. I don't get it. But yet still, we lead the capital murder of the world, and everybody in there and proclaim and positions are Democrats. I don't get it. What they don't, what people don't understand, they get paid off of murder. Them kids, they get paid off that. Because they can use that, get tough on crime. They've been getting tough on crime since I was a kid.
Okay.
Tough on crime. Get tough on the politicians who keep telling us foolishness to our sons up their dream. And we keep going for it. Because we don't want to do nothing. Because they made our mind lazy. We won't even go to the vote. It's too cold to go to the poll, but it ain't too cold to stand in line to get an iPhone. It ain't too cold to go to the club. It ain't too cold to go to a birthday party, something like that. But it's too cold to stand in line to vote. Really? Come on, man. Enough is enough. No, enough. And then the politicians in the now, they don't want you to go there. Why do you think the election in the city of Chicago election is in February? Because they know black folks ain't coming out in the cold.
So brother, what you so why is that? I know you're saying it that, you know, there's always some hurdles or challenges. Is it just not important to us, or what is that thing in order to kind of break free and confront the reality? What should we be doing?
We should be putting people in play that got our best interests. We should do our homework on it. You know, I was running for office. I've been running for office. And I go get my signatures, right? You got to get signatures on the ballot.
Because that's what I was getting to, because, you know, you're not right. Only just talking about it, you're doing something about it. You've been getting in
right.
The political game. Talk about your political
right.
History and Alderman,
I'm,
as well as what in the candidate you're running for.
I'm going to tell you that now, but let me tell you this leads to that. I get my signatures, right? Now watch this. I get this how we are. I get my signatures and go out there and get them. I'm out there in their face showing them. Oh, you give me something about you. I don't know nothing about you. I ain't signed your paper. You don't know nothing about Barack Obama, but you signed, you voted for him. You ain't going to tell me you know about it, because I know you didn't. And I get them every time with that. They get quiet. That's what
mm-hmm.
I saw. You want to give me a hard time. I said, well, Mr. Charlie comes, so this is telling everybody think I'm a racist. No, I ain't. When he asks you, you break your neck to sign that piece of paper for him. Somebody's with you. That's that mentality we got. So my point I'm saying this here, that's why we keep telling people when we did this video, stop doing the same old thing. Use your vote wisely. Do homework on everybody. And whoever else ain't right, vote them out. Whether they're Democrats, Republicans, Independents, whatever. Stop letting somebody dictate to you what you should do. And then when they do it, he ain't this, he ain't that. No, you the one ain't that because you didn't do your homework.
Right, so you're not saying, you're not advocating one way or the other. You're just saying, do your homework. Well, I guess in the sense, do your homework and vote. Fine, confront the reality that the current leadership is not working.
Right, I don't care if you vote for Mickey Mouse. Vote. Do your homework. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. That's what I said in that thing. I told them. And most of people said they had their personal feelings. I told them, hey, saying is I didn't get a chance. He cut one apart, but I said it in there too. I told the Republicans, I fought y'all too, because y'all don't even come in the black neighborhood to find out what's going on. That's how I fought them for not coming in black neighborhood. They cool. They didn't do nothing, but I'm still saying they ain't did nothing. You get what I'm saying?
Yep, understood. It's everybody. So, everybody got a part in it.
Right.
Not only as voters, but both sides of the aisle from the political perspective.
Right.
Got a part in it.
That's all I'm saying. And all I'm saying is I run for office. If you believe it or not, they know I've been in jail, I've been in office. I done ran like three different positions, right? And each one of the positions, it throws them off. And I ran for Cook County Commissioner. This the honest gospel. You can look it up on the internet. The primary, I didn't put out one piece of literature. And God
mm-hmm.
is my witness. I got 168,000 votes on the primary. Now watch this. Show yourself. So I ran for general election. Now general election, everybody named Mamas want to make sure, and I didn't do what I had to do. They did special elections to put people in my race that thing was closed, Republican and Democrat, to make sure that they don't do what I had to do. But what they didn't find out was, I found out this. When I ran, they made sure they lied and said, well, he only got 300,000 votes. Listen, I ain't talking about 300,000. Now watch this. My friend, and I ain't going to say his name because you don't supposed to do that. I got a couple people I know that work inside the election thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what they told me? They told me, boy, you got 600-some thousand votes. I don't care what they tell you. They did the count. You know what I'm saying? Now, you mean to tell me with 600,000 votes, I lost?
Wow.
With 300,000, I lost. See, that's how I know how the game is and how people play the game. And they don't want you to do something. That's just enough. Brother Eric, if I win, do you know what that do? That changed every ghetto person who's in a project, whose sons and daughters and mothers, who went to jail, who did everything and changed their life. I messed up their money.
Mm.
The powers that be. Because you can't keep talking about get tough on crime. Because people look at me like, hey, oh, just like Barack Obama became the president. Now all the black kids, like, I can be the president now. You know what I'm saying? When I win, I can stop shooting dope. I can stop killing my brother. I can stop beating my sister. I can stop doing this.
So you can break the cycle.
I don't like. Right. But they don't want that. That's why I keep doing it over and over again. They fought me down, tooth and nail. When I mean they fought me, brother, it took me to record court. It took me to telecom. They took me to court. They do not want, because they know the people, when I run, people vote for me. Because you know why they vote for me? Because they see their brother. They see their nephew. They see their son. They see their husband, their boyfriend. They see somebody who's done all the stuff they did can change. And they can use me as an example to them. You can change. You only change or you can't change.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line, bro.
So how's your campaign now? You run for campaign for Illinois State Senate. How's that coming right?
Right, state rep. And
state rep, okay.
The stuff is in the court. It's in court. But they you know, they're trying to, you know what I mean, you know, kick me off. They want me off the ballot so bad. And so it's in court, you know, like that. That's what it's in court. But I'm still running. I would have been bent out of shape, but I ain't, because I'm running for all of me. And that's one of the real things I want to do. But I tell you this right now, the state rep guy, he spent every dime he had. He got all the top people the powers to be. And they told me, man, you just won't go away. They know They know if I make the ballot, people voting for me, it's over. But let me show you the issue that they got on me. Not that I didn't have enough signatures. I got, you know, you're supposed to have, when you ran in the pit, you're supposed to have 2,500 signatures, right?
Right. Okay.
I turned in close to 5,000 signatures.
Mm-hmm.
So that really got them. Okay?
Okay.
You know what they got me on? Know what they got me on? Watch this. This is how the game go. Now, I'm going to show you when they want to do something. This is what they got me on. They say I voted in the primary. Democrat or Republican, one of them voted, right? mm-hmm. and you can't run as an independent in a general election. So basically, my right to vote, if I'm gonna run for independent candidate, I can't vote in the primary. That's
okay.
The only thing that got me on. Not that my citizens is bad. Not that I did anything wrong. Always take anything back and forth. They said you ran, you voted in the primary.
Wow! So that got you on the technicality
me,
there.
That's right. That's what they say. And I asked for a ballot. Oh, you asked for the ballot. That's good enough for us. But check this out, though. You can vote for that because they got referendums on there that you can vote for, and you don't have to vote for no party. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, understand.
So,
understand. So are you going to stay on the ballot for next week, or what are your chances?
I don't know. I'm in court with it, and then I'm just pursuing that. How will it work it out? I'm pursuing now, continuing doing the alderman thing, to the council alderman thing, and that's what I'm doing now. I guarantee you, they ain't going to give me on no technicalities on nothing.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
But it's going to be what's going to be. But if God, he said I can't get on this one, the good thing about that is the state rep is every 2 years. So he get 1 year a break. The next year, I told him, I'm at you. There ain't going to be no technicalities on this one. So, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. No, I'm saying?
Wow.
No more. You ain't gonna be able to get that one. They scared. And that's why the make the bottom line is this, I ain't hold you up, is people vote for who can help you, help your people, help with different things. And whoever it is, whoever color it is, it can be black, white, red, whatever folks, whatever issues that you got that can help you, they only come around when they need you. And see, year round, the four guys, the three guys you saw us, we year round. We be at everybody. We at Jesse Jackson. We at Al Shelton. We at, I don't care if you're black or white. If you're wrong, we at you. And they know it. So, see,
mm-hmm.
this video to go viral, they didn't like that at all. They didn't like that at all. Because
I bet. So, what type of backlash have you got? I mean, really, the mainstream media won't pick it up for you. So, what's the challenge there? Why is that, I guess?
The mainstream, I mean, like, all of, I guess, the ones, like, for the Democrat side, like CNN and all of them, they wouldn't pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We had few more thousand, not hundreds, but few more thousand, we'd be at a million in 5 days. A million.
Right.
That's what it is. If they watch this, they're going to pick it up after Tuesday. I bet you they're picking up after Tuesday.
After Tuesday.
After Tuesday, after the election, everybody gonna pick it up then.
Wow!
So,
wow.
Russ Limbaugh, I'm gonna say whatever they wanna say. I wanna thank Russ Limbaugh for doing 2 days in a row on this show. All of them. Glenn Beck, I wanna thank. You talk, are you taking? You taking them guys? I'm taking them guys because all they did was put it out there for us, and all
mm-hmm.
we did was tell the people, make your own decision. That's all. Stop voting for a party and vote for the man or the woman. That's all I'm saying.
Wow. That's all you're saying. So
you know,
make your own decision, do your homework, and vote.
Right.
And vote.
Because let me say one more thing. In a general election, you split parties. You're going to vote straight Democrat. You can vote Democrat, Republican, Independent. So pick the person that best suits you. That's it.
Pick the person that best suits you. You know that's good information. We should all follow and shouldn't have to be told to do that. And you know part of what I want to talk about with you too is the little time we have left. You know, you talked about if you stay on the ballot yourself and people will vote. What is it, Brother Ward, that people are drawn to you about? What is those things? That they're just drawn, just because, to your point, you said, because they see their brother, sister, their brother or uncle. What are those other things?
It's favor of God on me. You know what I mean? The favor of God on me, and they see somebody who's real, who's left their life that they lived before. You know what I mean? They see somebody who's caring, you know what I mean, who's been there. See, you can't tell me nothing if you ain't been where I've been. You don't know where I'm going. because you ain't been where I've been. Some people see that. I've been where they've been and going where they're going. So they see that. And they see somebody who's real. You might not like me because I talk loud and I say different things and I'm straightforward. But one thing you can't deny, I'm real. And I tell the truth. And I don't really care what you really think about me. As long as if I said something to encourage you and help you on the way, or something that leads you to Christ, or something that I can do that you can take a good, you know, take from, you can give to your kids, and that's all that matters. You ain't got to like me. Because your thing is, you know what I mean? God got to judge you, and God got to judge me. But I just want people to take from it and let people see that. They see me being real. They see me being a real guy. I ain't nothing phony about it.
The real guy. Say it again. So, Brother Harry, before we, I had a few more questions, but we got some questions on a live chat run. I didn't want to ignore that tonight, but we were just flowing. I want to make sure you got to your great points out so everybody can hear you. So my daughter Kennedy is going to ask those for you real quick.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. The first question is, out of everything that you have endured before, during, and after gang life, what is the biggest lesson you have learned?
Lesson?
Yes.
You said biggest lesson I learned?
Yes.
Obey your parents. See, Christ, that's the biggest lesson. And I would obey my mama, some of the stuff she told me and father told me. I probably wouldn't be doing this interview. That's some of the biggest lesson I learned. That being disobedient.
That's powerful.
I mean, really, for me, being disobedient.
Absolute. That's powerful.
Yeah.
You got another one? There's another one, too.
The last one says, what's the one thing you would say to someone contemplating joining a gang?
Don't do it. I would tell them don't do it because they different than what I'm doing. See, although we were the largest gangs in the world, our thing was by choice. It wasn't by force. If you want to get out, see you later, bye. Just don't come around and try to do nothing like get on our turf or nothing like that. Other people had to be jumped in. Girls had to be raped and all that kind of stuff. We ain't do none of that because we were so large. And I'm trying to figure out, discover who you are first. Okay? Discover who you are. And if you don't know who you are, I guarantee you, you get on your knees and ask God, wherever you are, God, show me, direct my path. He got to direct your path. Or you could throw the Bible on the garbage. His word is a lie.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
He'll give you your election, right?
Huh?
I said he'll give you your election, your purpose,
right,
your calling.
Right, exactly. And I tell people all the time, when you join, I joined back then, it's different back then. When I joined, it's different. Each thing was different. Now, it's like, it's totally, they just like running wild. You know what I mean? They doing stuff just to be doing it. Hurting innocent by people doing all foolishness. You know what I'm saying? See that man over there? Go shoot that person. There were so many guys, little guys in jail with me, 18, 17 years old, got 50 years. 50 years? Cars will really be flying when they get out. I guarantee you cars will be flying when they get out. 50 years. Man, and you know what? When they go in jail, they get more time than that. Because you got 50 years, they give you the knives and everything else. You hold that stuff down. You the one. If the police catch you, it don't matter. What they going to do to you? You got 50 years to get your time back. You know what I'm saying? But you get caught with the knives, the guns, the different things they got in jail. So, hey, you know, you the sucker. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. Hey, I'm telling every little kid I go around, I tell them, hey, man, this ain't what's happening. When I go talk to them, they listen, because I don't come at them like other people come. You know, that's philosophy. Man, I come straight to, I don't get time for that. Here's this little brother. You do this here, you going to jail. When you get to jail, this ain't going to be how you think it's going to be. I mean, they rocking and rolling in there. They shoot, I mean, they stomping and killing each other every day in the penitentiary. Now, that's how it's going to be. And if you go in there the wrong way, you're going to come out a different way. So,
wow.
To be honest with you, stay on the street, man. Man, I love my freedom. And I had juice in there. I ain't worried about nothing. Had guys around me different things, but I was a man before I'm anything. And when you get in there and you're away from your mom, that glass until she come to visit you and everybody go home, man, that was the worst feeling in the world for me. Everybody left, I mean, I can't go. No, you can go if you want to, but we're going to shoot you. You go out that door. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Man, I was saying, man, I wouldn't wish that. I'm honest. This honest, they don't take nothing else from me to take this from me. I wouldn't wish the penitentiary on my worst enemy. And that's where you go and you throwing rocks and bricks at the penitentiary when you get the gangs, when you selling drugs, when you're doing all type of foolishness that you know you're wrong. Rob and stealing, you are throwing bricks at the penitentiary. And let me say this to you. And I got to tell you this right now. In our system, the Illinois system, they got a system where you get numbers. You get A numbers. You get C numbers. You get D. My number was a B number. B16353, that was my number. You get an L number. Now watch this. I'm going to show you about design. When you add every letter up in the numbers, the letter that you get, everybody gets a letter. Start off. A, 1, 2, 3. B, so on. You get C. All of it spells black nigga. Yeah.
Whoa.
That's what it spells. Yeah. Look it up. In Illinois system, every letter, I was a B number. My son was a K number. My boy was an L number. Larry Hoover them was a C number. A number. My boy was an N number. We got an I number, D number. I promise you. Look it up. Look up
Wow.
the letters that they get and put them together. You tell me what it spells. It's by design. There's nothing happened. Everything they do is by design. Everything is by design, man. It's by design.
Nothing happens without being by design. Wow.
What? By design, man. For real.
By design.
I ain't talking no racist stuff. I'm telling you what I know. Look it up.
It's what it is, what you've experienced. But that's why it makes it so important. For to your point of get on God's side, because you in His design, you'll be okay, right?
Exactly, and that's what I did. I stood on God's side.
That's what you did.
God, you got my. Let me tell you something. You know what the judge told me.
What did he say?
I ain't never said this. He said, I ain't never said this. If I had the power to cut you loose right now, I would cut you loose. You don't belong here. You got it. Anytime a person keeps coming to court 5 years and 2.5 of the years was a appellate bar, I didn't have to see no court. I could have went to Mexico. I could have went anywhere. They didn't even know because I didn't have to report to nobody after the 2.5 years was up.
Right.
But he told me, you don't belong. And guess what? I said, Judge, I got my lesson. Like I told God, I understand. Judge, you can let me go now. But I was like, you do got it. But you got to go through this here. You reap what you sow.
Yeah.
So you got to go through the process. So I'm going through the process. And I knew I wasn't going. It's been February the 5th. I tell everybody, my family, everybody, if they don't give me a present on February the 5th and take me out to dinner, don't speak to me. That ain't even my birthday. That's the day I got out of penitentiary. I've been out 17 years since February the 5th coming up. 17 years out of penitentiary. Freedom.
Wow.
We call it back to the world. They don't got to buy me a birthday present, Christmas present, but buy me a present of me being out of jail 17 years.
February 5th. So I'm going to make sure I log that date in my mind and on my calendar. February 5th for you. This is good stuff.
That's it.
You know, Brother Harold, we're talking to Brother Harold Noonan Ward. Who is a candidate for state assembly in Illinois, as well as the former high-ranking member of Gangster Disciples. He's a self-made entrepreneur, politician, community activist. He is impactful, straight to the point, and really making this easy for me as one of the best guests we've had. Brother Ward, with the last few minutes we got. I just wanted to share, you know, how can people support you in your efforts as a candidate? For the work?
How to support my efforts as a candidate? Well, I got a website they can go there, and I got my I appreciate it because we got the website up where they can give us $3, whatever, you know what I mean? So I'm going to give it to you what the website is, so I mean, cause I'm making a big difference, but I need people to help me out as well as I'm helping them out. So if they can go to the website
help me out, and then give like $1, $2. It's like Earl Nooney Ward, NationBuilder.com donation. It's Harold, H-A-R-O-L-D, Nooney, N-O-O-N-I-E, Ward, W-R-I-D, NationBuilding.com donation. That's the website.
Absolutely. So you can be able to get that on Facebook, also on my website on Q Leadership, and as well as my On Q Radio page. It should be on there. You should be able to connect to that. You know,
and one more thing.
Sure, go ahead.
I wish the people get a chance to go on, I mean, go on my website, the originalnooneyg.com, to get that new book, my new book, Gangstonomics, with forward done by 50 Cent and Puffy. But there's a whole lot of stuff on there where I did the last book, too, with Common and Kanye, and I had a DVD out with a lot of people on it. So it's the realnooneyg.com.
Realnooneyg.com. Okay,
right.
I'll make sure I link that one out there too. The realnooneyg.com to go out and get his latest book, Gangstonomics. He shared some great perspective with us earlier. You know, brother
right.
Nooney, last question for you: what can we be in prayer with you about?
Huh? I can't, sir. Hello?
Yeah. I said,
what's the last question?
What can we be in prayer with you about?
Oh, Eric, I'm glad you said that. About the work that God got for us to do to help these kids, you know what I mean? To help these kids see that what God's will is. Basically, my thing is to do God's will. Let's pray that we do God's will. And one of the things I got back for is with this election and also with just me helping kids changing their lives. That's our future. And right
That's
now,
our
future. Our future look dim. It look dim, bro. It really look dim.
Yep. So we're gonna agree with you virtually about God working with you and to help these kids and you stand and doing God's will not only through this election but everything your hand touches, and we're gonna raise you up in prayer for you tonight. And I know time went fast. We probably could have stayed on subject. We missed out on a few things, but we really appreciate you coming with us tonight. And we hopefully you'll come back and see us fairly soon, especially after you win this election, right?
Right. Exactly.
Absolutely,
right.
Absolutely. So, ladies and gents, we have Brother Harold Nooney Ward with us tonight. He was the former high-ranking member of the Gangsta Disciples, now is a candidate for the Illinois State Assembly and really making an impact in his hometown, Chicago. And so we had a lot of things we wanted to cover there tonight, but as you know, his life is a full testimony. Probably a lot of things we heard tonight probably surprised us, and probably he has even a lot more things that would along the way. But if you can, go out and support him, connect on our Facebook page or our website so we can support Brother Harold Nooney Ward so he can continue to do God's work. You know, we're going to close out real quick where, you know, God's words kind of filled in these verses as you kind of go through this also is about change. And there's a saying that the only easy way to deal with change is when you're the one doing the change. And that's what Brother Harold Nooney Ward and as well as a lot of us who are listening do that each and every day. It is tough just to deal with change, especially those that are not under our control. And we know it's constant, but it's absolutely necessary. You know, and so, but we kind of, you know, what for salvation, like for Brother Harold Nooney Ward has experienced, we must change our mind and agree that the Lord has a better way than our way and being on getting on cue with his will. But, you know, to mature spiritually, though, we must allow the kind of Holy Spirit to change us as it's done our guests. And just the word tells in the verse we use at the start of every show, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's Romans 12:2. And sometimes Lord gets us to change in various ways. Sometimes he'll get us to change locations where he'll show us the way as he showed Abraham when he's leaving his own country. Sometimes in that location, Lord, he'll walk with us as well as he told with Jacob after receiving this wonderful news that Joseph was alive and he became the second ruler, second in command in Egypt. And also he'll show us the way as an exit, especially out of our situation as he did the Israelites at the Exodus out of Egypt. He also sometimes he'll call us just to pack up and go into exile as he did told Ezekiel to move his stuff. and in order to get one. Also, he'll say, you know, just rise and go as he did Philip, who met the eunuch from Ethiopia, who also took the gospel on to Ethiopia. You know, the second thing the Lord asked you to do is to change our name, as Brother Harold did in a sense, but he also kind of kept part of, kind of know his testimony and his story, but how Lord changed Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah, and Jacob to Israel. And also the Lord, he also helped to change our mind, as Jesus tells us in Mark 1, after John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee and proclaiming the gospel and saying, the time's fulfilled, the kingdom of heaven in hand, repent and believe in the gospel. So at the end of the day, though, as Brother Harold Newney Ward has done, change who we trust, not our game, not our family, not our friends, not anybody, but change and trust in the Lord, where he is true the foundation, he is faithful, he'll do what he said he's going to do, and he's never, never changing. And no matter how smart we are, no matter how evolved we get, how deserving we think, how powerful we think we are, or no matter how exempt we think, there's a time to change lies in Romans 12:2. It's time for us to be ye transformed by renewing of our minds, so we may prove of what is good and accept the perfect will of God. So we thank you for joining us tonight, and we want to close out tonight, and we appreciate you standing up for a little while, and Kennedy's going to close us out. Thank you.
Before we go, we thank our special guest, Harold Newney G. Ward. We thank you for tuning in. We hope that our ministry helps you get on cue with the Lord. I have an ask for all of you. Put us on your prayer list. Like us on Facebook at On Cue Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Cue Leadership. And invite a friend to listen to this show and to next week's show. If you are a leader in the church, on the field, at work, in the community, or anywhere else, please consider us to enhance your leadership. For more information, go to our website, www.qleadership.org or .com. If you would like to be a sponsor, please email us at onq@qleadership.com. Also, be on the lookout for my dad's book, Leader in the Mirror, out next month. We give all honor and praise to Christ our Savior. I'm sure my dad thanks his producer assistant, me, his better half, best friend, wife, my mother, my little sister Carson, all of our family, friends in life, and on Facebook. We dedicate the show to new leadership. This has been On Cue Radio. Until next week, get on cue with God's will, get on cue with God's election on your life, and get others on cue with that election.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are, by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with his calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue. Let us help you get on cue.